Harry got to his feet and bent once more over the rippling silver contents of the stone basin until his face touched them. He tumbled through dark nothingness and landed in a sitting room in front of an immensely fat old lady wearing an elaborate ginger wig and a brilliant pink set of robes that flowed all around her, giving her the look of a melting iced cake. She was looking into a small jeweled mirror and dabbing rouge onto her already scarlet cheeks with a large powder puff, while the tiniest and oldest house elf Harry had ever seen laced her fleshy feet into tight satin slippers.
"Hurry up, Hooky," said Hepzibah imperiously. "He said he'd come at 4. It's only a couple of minutes to, and he's never been late yet."
She tucked away her powder puff as the house elf straightened up. The top of the elf's head barely reached the seat of Hepzibah's chair, and her papery skin hung off her frame, just like the crisp linen sheet she wore draped like a toga.
"How do I look?"
said Hepzibah, turning her head to admire the various angles of her face in the mirror.
"Lovely, madam,"
squeaked Hokey. Harry could only assume that it was down in Hokey's contract that she must lie through her teeth when asked this question, because Hepzibah Smith looked a long way from lovely in his opinion. A tinkling doorbell rang, and both mistress and elf jumped.
"Quick, quick, he's here, Hokey,"
cried Hepzibah, and the elf scurried out of the room, which was so crammed with objects that it was difficult to see how anybody could navigate their way across it without knocking over at least a dozen things. There were cabinets full of little lacquered boxes, cases full of gold-embossed books, shelves of orbs and celestial globes, and many flourishing potted plants in brass containers. In fact, the room looked like a cross between a magical antique shop and a conservatory. The house elf returned within minutes, followed by a tall young man Harry had no difficulty whatsoever in recognizing as Voldemort. He was plainly dressed in a black suit. His hair was a little longer than it had been at school, and his cheeks were hollowed. But all of this suited him. He looked more handsome than ever. He picked his way through the cramped room with an air that showed he had visited many times before, and bowed low over Hepzibah's fat little hand, brushing it with his lips. "I brought you flowers," he said quietly, producing a bunch of roses from nowhere.
"You naughty boy, you shouldn't have,"
squealed old Hepzibah, though Harry noticed that she had an empty vase standing ready on the nearest little table.
"You do spoil this old lady, Tom. Sit down, sit down. Where's Hokey? Ha!"
The house elf had come dashing back into the room, carrying a tray of little cakes, which he set at her mistress's elbow.
"Help yourself, Tom," said Hepzibah. "I know how you love my cakes. Now, how are you? You look pale. They overwork you at that shop. I've said it 100 times.
Voldemort smiled mechanically, and Hepzibah simpered.
"Well, what's your excuse for visiting this time?"
she asked, batting her lashes. "Mr. Burke would like to make an improved offer for the goblin-made armor," said Voldemort. 500 galleons. He feels it is a more than fair...
Now, not so fast, or I think you're only here for my trinkets,"
pouted Hepzibah. "I am ordered here because of them," said Voldemort quietly. "I am only a poor assistant, madam, who must do as he is told. Mr. Burke wishes me to inquire."
"Oh, Mr. Burke, phooey,"
said Hepzibah, waving a little hand.
"I've something to show you that I've never shown Mr. Burke. Can you keep a secret, Tom? Will you promise you won't tell Mr. Burke I've got it? He'd never let me rest if he knew I'd shown it to you, and I'm not selling, not to Burke, not to anyone. But you, Tom, you'll appreciate it for its history, not how many galleons you can get for it."
"I'd be glad to see anything Miss Hepzibah shows me," said Voldemort quietly, and Hepzibah gave another girlish giggle.
"I had Hokey bring it out for me. Hokey, where are you? I want to show Mr. Riddle our finest treasure. In fact, bring both while you're at it." "Hey, madam,"
squeaked the house elf, and Harry saw two leather boxes, one on top of the other, moving across the room as if of their own volition, though he knew the tiny elf was holding them over her head as she wended her way between tables, puffs, and footstools.
"Now," said Hepzibah happily, taking the boxes from the elf, laying them in her lap, and preparing to open the topmost one. "I think you'll like this, Tom. Oh, if my family knew I was showing you, they can't wait to get their hands on this."
She opened the lid. Harry edged forward a little to get a better view, and saw what looked like a small golden cup with two finely wrought handles.
"I wonder whether you know what this is, Tom. Pick it up. Have a good look,"
whispered Hepzibah. And Voldemort stretched out a long-fingered hand and lifted the cup by one handle out of its snug silken wrappings. Harry thought he saw a red gleam in his dark eyes. His greedy expression was curiously mirrored on Hepzibah's face, except that her tiny eyes were fixed upon Voldemort's handsome features.
"A badger,"
murmured Voldemort, examining the engraving upon the cup.
"Then this was Helga Hufflepuff's, as you very well know, you clever boy,"
said Hepzibah, leaning forward with a loud creaking of corsets and actually pinching his hollow cheek.
"Didn't I tell you I was distantly descended? This has been handed down in the family for years and years. Lovely, isn't it? And all sorts of powers it's supposed to possess, too. But I haven't tested them thoroughly. I just keep it nice and safe in here."
She hooked the cup back off Voldemort's long forefinger and restored it gently to its box, too intent upon settling it carefully back into position to notice the shadow that crossed Voldemort's face as the cup was taken away.